curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hey everyone, I'm Carla Soans. Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I am actually here with Ron in the studio today, and I am really excited about today's topic, partially because it was on my heart.
You picked it.
I picked it, exactly. It's just been something that's really been on my heart, and every conversation I've had recently keeps circling back to the same kind of area of focus. And so I wanted to pick Ron's brain about it a little bit. So before we get started, Ron, how are you?
I am fabulous.
Oh, wow. That threw me for a loop. You usually say awesome, but today's fabulous. I'm taking that as an upgrade from awesome.
Yeah.
So I am even more excited to dive in. So I'm going to kick things off with why this topic has just been hanging there. And I will fully admit that me and my husband have a marriage book club, and we decided that we wanted to make sure that reading was something that we were doing. So we picked a book each month. We actually listened to it on Audible, and as we do our commutes in the morning, him in his car, me in my car. But we pick all different books. Doesn't matter. They're not all business books or, you know, biographies, some fiction, doesn't matter. But the one that we just recently read has just been hanging there. And the book was The Sixth Man. It was Andre Iguodala, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He is an NBA basketball player for the Golden State Warriors. The sixth man, meaning that he's not one of the starting five anymore. He's the first man off the bench. But what fascinated me was when he started the story, and it's the story of his career, he began and he was talking about how much work it was and that he thought that his rookie season would be the season that he worked the hardest because you're trying to make the big dollars and get the big contract. And in some ways, you were working as hard or harder than everyone else at that time in order to do that. But once he got the contract, he realized that he would have that's when the real work started, that he was working harder than, because with that paycheck became all the expectations of how you handle yourself, how you interact with the media, how you play. You're now working for that paycheck rather than trying to earn it. And it really just fascinated me because I think that is, in some cases, how growth in leadership really is. You think that you are working to get the promotion, but once you get the promotion, the work gets harder. Agree?
I agree.
So what fascinated me about it is that we talk a lot about this up-and-coming generation and how eager they are and how talented they are and how amazingly just agile they are and able to adapt. But one of the things that keeps resonating along with all those great characteristics is this sense that other generations have that they have a feeling of entitlement. And that really struck me because as he was talking about that rookie season, you're in your rookie season when you first start a career, and you are often seeing others and you think you're putting in the same amount of work, but really you're just getting up to speed. And so what are your thoughts on that trap of entitlement that you see people sometimes fall into regardless of age? But as we are reflecting on what a lot of senior leaders now are saying is characteristic or flaw in the younger generation, we hear a lot about entitlement.
Yeah, I think it's, and I love the current young group of leaders coming up. You know, I dedicated Uniquely You to that next generation of leaders because I think they have the ability to do amazing things. But this trap of entitlement is real. I think the whole socialist movement that we're seeing that, well, if one person works 40 hours a week and the other one works 40 hours a week, they should get the same benefit, you know? And I'm sorry, life doesn't work that way. And frankly, it isn't about time. It's about the capacity you bring. And, you know, it reminds me, and we started out with sports metaphors, and we don't use a lot of sports metaphors on this podcast, but I just saw a great interview with Michael Strahan, you know, Hall of Fame football player. He's on Good Morning America. He was Kelly and Michael's show. He's an amazing guy. He's online at Close. This interview was originally, I think, part of 60 Minutes. And he talks about how he hated summer practice, hated workouts. It was hard and your equipment was always wet and you were always on the ground and all of that. And then, but once he got his contract, he thought, oh, all right, I have made it. And then he looked around and realized it was the old guys in the locker room and how much harder they were working, about how they were the ones not just doing the work and the team workouts, but they were hiring trainers to go the extra mile. They were studying playbooks longer. They were studying films longer. They were putting the time in because that's what it took to grow and to move up in the level of trust people had in you and the belief people had in you. And that was a great metaphor, an analogy for what life is like, that it sometimes we think we're working as hard as we can, but it's like that. We've all probably been in that motivational speech where you're in the audience and the speaker says, now everybody stand up and reach as high as you can. And everybody in the audience stretches their arms out. And then he says, now just reach 2 inches higher. And everybody stretches again. And he said, whoa, whoa, did you go higher? Well, yeah, 2 inches higher. So how? You told me you were stretching as high as you could the first time. And all I had to do was ask you to go 2 inches higher, 2 inches farther, and you're able to do that. What's the difference there? And I think we forget that as in our careers, that we aren't going as high as we can. And a lot of times it's because nobody's asking us to, or we're not hearing them ask us to stretch, or we go, oh, what do you mean stretch? I'm already going high as I can. You're probably not.
Well, and I think it also comes down to the fact that when we're originally hired for a job, you're really focused on, you know, executing that job or that function. And so for early on in your career, it often means like really honing your technical ability and understanding of the business, right? So you spend a lot of time, you know, measuring success to you means, did I meet my goals and did I grow in that technical ability that will help me be a better engineer or a better lawyer or a better teacher, or, you know, all of these different career paths. There's those first 5 to 10 years are really about you learning how to become technically better at what you are aspiring to do. And I think where I see a lot of leaders fall into what ends up looking on paper or in a meeting like entitlement is really when they get to the point in their career where they are meeting expectations in terms of goals and technical ability, and now growth in terms of their salary or impact or influence isn't about technical ability anymore. It's about, how do you present yourself, and are people willing to lead you and willing to be led by you as an example? And that's where it comes down to, like, do you have the executive presence that it's going to take to really hang in this business outside as an individual performer? That's hard.
It is hard. And it's really hard sometimes to be self-aware, to know that. So you've got to have a mentor or somebody that can be honest with you and say, hey, these are the things you're doing that have got you in a leadership cul-de-sac. You know, you may be in a beautiful neighborhood driving around that cul-de-sac, going mile after mile, but you're not actually getting anywhere because you've got to turn the wheel left sometimes and not right. You've got to change your path. And it served you before, but it's not going to serve you at the next level. But if you don't have somebody telling you that, or you're not willing to hear it, then you've kind of created a glass ceiling to your own leadership.
And I think you're right. I think it is creating a glass ceiling when you are focusing on, you know, how much you contributed versus how much more you can contribute, or the extra 2 inches. And I think as leaders, we're just never done contributing.
The train never arrives.
No.
You stop at a station. A leadership train never arrives. You are never done. You can stop, acknowledge it, enjoy it. But if you want to go to the next station, you have to get back on the train and you have to go forward.
And, you know, I read something recently about executive presence because it kept coming up in all these different conversations. And I think people are a little confused about what executive presence really, you know, what you're talking about. And so in order for myself to gain better clarity so that I could become a better coach during that, I read something recently and I really liked it because it was really simple. But it basically said that when we're talking about executive presence, we're talking about your ability to inspire confidence. And what they said is that most decisions about your career will be made without you in the room, whether you get the next promotion, the next assignment, the next look at, the next contract, whatever that may be, you're usually not in the room. So what you've brought to the table has to be enough that somebody is willing to carry and bring your name up with confidence that you're the right person for that. And that could be not only people who you think you're following, point leaders of an organization perhaps, but also maybe subordinates. Are they willing to say, I enjoy following so-and-so, I want to be on their team?
Are they advocating for you?
Yes.
From above and below.
And below. And I think that inspiring confidence that you're a leader that people want to follow and that you are inspiring confidence in the senior leaders that they should continue to invest in you. And that's when being become an individual performer and then thinking of how much capacity you have in a team to offer, that's where that transformation takes place. And I see so many people get to that point. And being at that point in your leadership means that you have to not think about yourself anymore. And you have to think about what's going to be best for the entire team and what's going to truly inspire that confidence. And that's where you have to leave some things on the table, whether that's time that you spent doing something you really enjoyed that now you have to level up and read more leadership books, or whether that's, you know, saying, you know, I really enjoyed wearing a flashy suit, but I look at around and everyone else is in the navy and gray, black suit model still that's making the decision. So I have to level up. That's where trying to find that, how do I stay authentic to myself and level up at the same time really happens.
That's right. And, you know, I loved playing rugby. I played rugby 15 years, traveled the world doing it, but I left and retired because I couldn't go to work with a black eye anymore. You know, and the position I played as prop, I spent years with a black eye, it seems. And it got to where it was career damaging. And I had to pick whether I was going to have a career and thrive in that, or I was going to continue to show up with a black eye. And I made a choice to, you know, gain executive presence. And too many of us don't see that or have somebody doesn't tell us, or we go, well, why should that matter? My performance is good. Well, you reach a certain level, there's a whole lot of people's performance is good. How are you going to differentiate yourself? And that's what you've got to manage.
I think that's so true. And I've heard a lot of people recently, you know, kind of, we're living in a world where workplaces have gotten a little bit more casual. And they're struggling with, you know, how do I authentically stay myself? And what things about my casual, authentic self do I want to make sure I don't lose if I become, have this executive presence? And what things do I have to lose? And it's each person's decision what you're willing to give up. Make sure you don't lose yourself in that, but also look around the rooms that you're in and look at the people who are making decisions. And if you want to be in the place where they take you seriously and you're making decisions with them, then you have to level up to a certain extent to that place.
You can't break the rules till you understand the rules. You can't be a agent of change until you get the opportunity to be in the room when change is made. And, you know, it's back to, I think we mentioned it in a podcast or two, that I have a friend who's very creative and dresses dynamic and all that. But as he says, he got rich early. And so you can be eccentric if you've already made it. But if you're trying to get there, you don't actually get to be that eccentric, break the rule person. You just won't get invited in the room.
Absolutely. And I go back to that original book that I read, and in the fact that it really struck me that that rookie season was when he thought he would work the hardest to gain that respect. And it wasn't until he received the first contract that he realized that that's where he really had to work to keep the respect. And sometimes gaining it is not as hard as keeping it. And working hard once somebody's truly invested significant dollars in you means giving up even more of yourself to be great than it did to get the initial contract in that initial season.
Staying on top is a lot harder than getting on top.
Absolutely. So thank you for sharing your insights on that next level leadership. I hope somebody in the listening audience that's maybe embarking on this season or is feeling themselves in that uncomfortable season where you feel like you need to make the shift, but you're also hanging dearly on to not wanting to lose your authentic self, that you take some time and really think about that. And it's really important at this point in your leadership to have clear values of what things that you refuse to lose about yourself versus what things like dress really don't matter. That there's a difference between value and appearance and things that you can change and still not lose your core values. And so just take some time, explore that. If you have additional questions, I know Ron or myself would love to hear from you. So you can always reach out at ron@ronkitchens.com. But thank you, Ron, for sharing your thoughts on this next level leadership.
Thank you. And remember, authenticity is not the same thing as distraction. Be authentic. Go be uniquely you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.